item number two, please.
An ordinance to amend Chapter 1.13 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to mandate full and complete audio recordings of any and all closed session meetings of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors and its committees.
Supervisor DuBois and Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the resolution that we've talked about as a committee for the last couple of meetings. At the last meeting, if you'll recall, I told the committee that I'd take the lead in asking staff to draw the resolution up. They did draw it up at my request. It was written by County Board staff and Corporation Council. Frankly, they gave me the finished product, and I approved it with one addition, which was just the whereas clause that described the audit findings of several years ago, where the audit department, after the pension scandal, recommended that there would be a recording and or some sort of permanent record of what happens in closed session. So I hope that my colleagues today will support this. And with that, I'll just move approval.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My intention in asking recognition was to move approval.
Okay.
So I have no further comment.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jersey.
My understanding of this resolution is that it includes recorded minutes kept in closed session. And for that reason, I am not going to support this. I think that recording information in closed session is a very dangerous precedent for all kinds of reasons. For example, sometimes the recordings don't pick up statements that some may have made and pick up others, which will then not correctly reflect the full record. It may cause those that are giving information to not be fully prepared to make statements if there's going to be a record of it. That is true sometimes with attorneys. And finally, if there is a concern on behalf of those of us who have responsibility to vote on some very difficult issues from time to time, we should be requesting, when we feel it's necessary, to have a written document outlining a position that we are concerned about, and have that written document be the document that is saved from the closed session. Anything else other than written documents will cause problems. And therefore, I am not going to support this as it's set out. I think it's a very dangerous precedent to start. I've been on both sides of number one and ultimately concluded, based on review of this with the way the public might perceive it, they would not perhaps be happy that knowing that their representatives are agreeing to the kinds of rules that would be included in number one, and I have the same concerns with regard to number two. If we're concerned about information we're getting in closed session, there should be a request or a written memorandum. Other than that, I think we are creating a very dangerous precedent by having recordings of closed sessions with all the problems that can happen with recordings. And then this idea about having the clerk keep it confidential and so on. So that's my reasoning on this. I'm going to vote no, consistent with my vote in number one.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respect the reasoning my colleague has just outlined, but I have come to a different conclusion. I think the danger here is having no record at all. That you can't misinterpret silence, but you can't understand what anyone's position was, what statements were made. And I, for one, would stand responsible for statements I make in closed session or outside of closed session, in open session. I think it's a dangerous precedent not to have any kind of record and leave that open to flying accusations and faulty memories about what was said and what may not have been said and what was intended. I think the absence of a record is a dangerous priority to set, And so I'm going to continue to support this idea. I think it's a valuable resource, and ultimately the chilling effect is on the public's ultimate right to know. Due process followed, if it's followed, then there is a record that can resolve the differing opinions that may result from interpretations or distortions after the fact. So I couldn't disagree more with my colleague, and I will continue to support this effort.
Thank you, Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to briefly outline why I support this resolution. And it starts with the premise, I think, that was just made by Supervisor Broderick. But it's more than that, in my opinion. I've been on the board through some major litigation in which, in closed session, there were snippets of information that was written and provided to committee members and then withdrawn. There was information written on a blackboard and then erased. There was individual small notes taken by elected officials during these important closed session meetings because it is not an accurate perception to believe that it is a correct ask elected officials in closed session to go into closed session and have no ability to record anything that happens there, to have any information for later thoughtful review outside of closed session or whatever. So the bottom line is when you're in closed session, at some point elected officials will feel the need to have some sort of record, and in the absence of a formal record, they create their own. And in the Mercer litigation, when I lived through incomplete information given the board, information hen scratched on bulletin boards and then erased, there were little bits of notes taken, and that became the county's record of closed session. And that is a horrific type of record to have in litigation. It did not harm the county. In some cases it harmed the county, in some cases it helped the county that there was some record. And there were plenty of discussions with the attorneys at that time over how having an accurate record of what actually happened in closed session in some of those instances would have helped the county. Clearly, there's times when having full records of closed session may ultimately be harmful to the county side of the case. I recognize that. But the bottom line is I think it's unwise and naive to expect that there's going to be no record of a closed session taken, because elected officials clearly they can't do their job if all they have is a verbal report from the administrator. They need to be able to follow through with that with written information at some point. In addition to that, much of what Supervisor Broderick was talking about were, I think, implied perceptions of the elected officials. You can have 7 elected officials in a room and have 10 different opinions or 20 different opinions as to what was said, all well-intentioned. But there's the other arm of what happens in closed session, which is all the administrative staff that are reporting to the board. And as important as it is to me to have an accurate record eventually for county government and ultimately for our constituents about what elected officials say in closed session and whether they're saying one thing publicly and something completely different privately, which has happened on multiple occasions on very important issues, there's also another problem, which is equally important and frankly has more to do with our ultimate ability to do our jobs, which is what administration officials who report to the standing committee in closed session, what they say in private versus in public. And if there's no way to hold those administrators accountable for what they say, you harm the ability of the legislative branch to do their job, because in closed session, the elected officials rely on that testimony. It is the most powerful testimony. It is the time when an administrator has the most ability to influence the vote of an elected official and ultimately influence public policy. And it's done in closed session. And the elected officials have no opportunity, in most cases, to do any type of outside research to verify what that administrator is saying. So as I've reviewed, 18 years of what's been said in closed session, 99% of the time, I think the administrators have been fair and honest and open and told us what they thought we needed to know. And I think elected officials have been the same. But on those rare occasions where closed session could be used to lead county government officials astray or lead them to adopt a policy that if they had broader information and more accurate information, they would choose differently, there has to be an ability to hold those administrators accountable. So to me, it's not just an issue of what the elected officials may say or not say, whether they're inhibited or not. It's also what happens with the power of the administration, that the unique power the administration has in a closed session to influence elected officials. And finally, my other point does have to do with what elected officials say or don't say. We are not a private business, and I would not recommend a private business taking this type of measure, because it's a different situation. But those of us who are the administrators of county government, the legislative branch, and our role in that, we are ultimately elected officials. And I understand the legitimate concern that we might be more inhibited knowing our comments are recorded. But ultimately, I don't have a problem with that. If we aren't willing to have what we say or our opinions about a piece of legislation in private should match what we feel about it in public. Maybe not the tone, maybe not, you know, how we present it, but bottom line, ultimately, elected officials, I think, need to be consistent both privately and publicly. And I think to that extent, while that is a potential negative, the inhibition of what people might say, I think that's far outweighed by the ability of this legislation to eventually have an accurate record for county government of what happens in closed session. Bottom line, in my opinion, some of the most important decisions in county government are made behind closed doors. That's the way it's always been. It's the way it always will be. The most important information about some of the most expensive and long-range impacts of county decisions are made in closed doors, behind closed doors. And as long as that situation exists, I believe we need to have ultimately an accurate record, as accurate as we can make it, knowing it has some flaws, but as accurate as we can make it, a record of what happens there. I will note for those who don't have the legislation that in this resolution, what will happen is that the clerk will record the minutes, will record what is happening in closed session. The clerk will not modify that recording, and that recording will be housed with the Corporation Counsel's office. The legislation does state that the full audio recording shall be made available for different personnel within county government, the County Board of Supervisors, the County Board Chief of Staff, the County Board Committee Clerks and Research Staff, the Director of Audits, meeting attendees if they have signed in, so that administrators would have the ability, if they were part of that session, to come back and look at it, court counsel or their designee, the county department head on the related matter, and then outside parties, particularly outside counsel, as long as those are authorized by the county board chairman and corporation counsel. And finally, this change in the statute is very clearly, and it's in the legislative changes that are being proposed, that this is not intended to be a component of the open meetings law. In other words, the transcripts of these audio recordings are not going to be released upon an open meetings law written request for release. And the only way that there are times when Corporation Counsel would have to get into that mix as to what needs to be released or not, but that's not the intent of this legislation. It is intended to keep the information or the recording private as originally intended by the closed session meeting.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Jersey.
Just a couple responses, and I appreciate both Supervisor Broderick and Supervisor DeBruin's comments. I think they both have thought long and hard about this and have a position that they feel is something that is needed in the county government, and I understand it in that regard. My own concern about this is the Wisconsin statutes recognize times when elected officials need to do things in private and go into closed session. I wasn't around when the Mercer lawsuit, the advice that the board got and so on. And I'm not so sure the results would have been the same if we in fact had recorded conversations regarding Mercer. That's all hindsight. I understand that we didn't have recorded conversations, so it is what it is. It's just the point that, especially since we've experienced Mercer, the wiser thing I think for supervisors to do is when you get some significant information like that in a closed session, would be to ask for a memorandum to have that placed in a safe place, a written memorandum reflecting what the advice was, especially in a complicated situation like a Mercer. What I can almost predict is going to happen here is we're going to have a rule like this. We're going to go into a closed session. You're going to have someone who is in need of giving you some extremely sensitive information, and they will hesitate. They're going to ask, can I do this off the record? And then we're going to be faced with the situation of, do we turn off the recordings or do we leave the recordings going? If we leave the recordings going, the person may not be willing, for whatever reason, their own liability, they may not be willing to give you the information. Now you have a secret proceeding within a secret proceeding, and it gets very, very messy. I think of, for example, the Nixon tapes, where there was some very sensitive information that probably was going to result in some liability, and all of a sudden, a secretary who won't be subject to the same kinds of ethics rules as elected officials mistakenly erased tapes, and so on. So, you know, you get that kind of situation going on. This is assuming the recordings are done well and pick up all of the information that is being given in a room, which I'm not so certain our own equipment will do. There's too often when you get comments made within the room that you can hear if you're here, but which the recording itself doesn't pick up. So I have a concern that the recording's not going to do the job, but I also have a concern that you are now within those circumstances that Wisconsin statute recognizes as a time when this body needs to get information in closed session and gives us the guideline. And I am now always asking, when we go into closed session, for legal advice, is this a proper time to go into closed session? So the public has the absolute assurance that we got, you know, the necessary advice for going into closed session. We're going into closed session properly. But now we're faced with information that someone wants to give to us, but because we're recording it, because they don't want to go on the quote record, they may not feel free to give it, and we're going to be faced with those situations now. Either turn off the microphones or you're not going to get it. And I think we're just creating more problems than the recording of that information is going to be worth. We should have learned from Mercer. Now, when you're getting some very sensitive information that's going to affect us financially, the way the Mercer advice did, that we should be smart enough to require a written memorandum of that advice so that it's put down and that document can be kept. Then there's a clear record of what you are relying on. So I'm going to continue to oppose this. I think we're creating some problems that we don't need to create for ourselves. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Briefly, on just one brief point, this is a statute change. It's an ordinance change. So there would not be the flexibility within this revision for a clerk or a committee to turn the tape off during a closed session meeting. It would be required by statute to have the full minutes recorded. So I understand there are multiple concerns that you had, but as for that piece of it, there would not, whether you like it or not, there would not be that flexibility.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I understand exactly and firsthand where Supervisor Jerzer is coming from with regard to the recording, because I listen to a lot of the meetings that go on here on the internet, and you can very clearly hear some people and others you can't. so in fact, I'm probably not talking close enough to make it probably myself here. So my question, and it's very irritating, my question, I guess, to staff, or I don't know if there's some technical people, is how would we record the meetings? Would it be over the regular sound system we have now? Is there a way to prevent it from not leaving this room, or would you have to set up some other type of recording device, or how would we go about actually getting those recordings?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, my understanding is that the apparatus we have currently, there's a switch that we can flip upstairs somewhere that would allow us to record through our system here without it being broadcast. So we'd be using the same hardware, the same systems that we have in place here.
Okay. And then, if I may, Mr. Chairman, another question. With Corporation Counsel, who was intricately involved, I guess, in writing this resolution, are there the proper protections towards the end of the revisions on line 119 through 122? You talk about that these wouldn't be permitted copies or recordings unless they benefited Milwaukee County's interest or were subpoenaed. Do you feel that gives us enough protection I guess I'm concerned that we don't want information. Can you control what goes out as far as, if it's going to be to your benefit or not to your benefit?
Mr. Gray.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. First of all, Mr. Sessions deserves the credit for drafting this resolution and ordinance, not Corporation Counsel. But it was reviewed by our office by Mr. Shaley and approved in its form. I did not personally review it, but he did. A couple concerns. First of all, the open records issue. If we are in closed session and recordings are made in closed session, I believe that those recordings are not subject to the open meetings law. They will be exempt just the way they are. This discussion is exempt now. So I do not think we would have to turn over the recordings in response to an open records request. However, the concern that Bob Andrews raised previously with the committee still exists, that we may be subject to a subpoena in a piece of litigation. There's a 2008 Supreme Court decision where they allowed a party to subpoena minutes, and I don't know if it was minutes or recordings, taken in closed session of a disciplinary matter related to a personnel matter in litigation. And so there is the potential that we will have to turn over these audio recordings to another party in a court action. That's a change in the law, I think, or an expansion of the law as we had understood it before. And so the courts are increasingly giving access to this kind of closed session material if it exists in litigation, not subject to open records, but in litigation. And so there is the chance, and supervisors have talked about the countervailing interests here. There is the chance that it could help us in a piece of litigation. There's a chance it could hurt us. It depends what's said, obviously. As an attorney, and as the county's attorney, we're always looking to minimize your risk. And that's our job. And the best way to minimize risk is not to record anything. You don't get the benefit at times, but you also don't get the liability on the other occasions. So I think our general feeling is that you minimize your risk by not recording. Now, there are public policy interests that would support recording, and I'm not disagreeing or disputing any of that. It is a policy decision for the board to make, and you get to weigh those pros and cons. And there's nothing illegal about this ordinance or inappropriate about this ordinance from a legal standpoint. It's a policy decision. But you do have to recognize the risk that there may be times that these recordings are going to be given to our opponents in a piece of litigation, depending on what was said in the meeting. And if you're willing to take that risk, that's your decision. You're the client. You need to make that decision. With respect to the specific lines of the resolution, we're satisfied with the way they're drafted.
Okay. And,
I'm sorry.
What's the likelihood that a person who gives advice or testimony in a closed meeting would actually be personally held liable for something? Because that's one of the issues Supervisor Jurczyk brought up as well. And I could see, if somebody has that fear, of them not giving us the information that we really need to hear to make a decision. Is that, is there a potential? I mean, a lawyer can try to sue for anything, and they do. But if a person's acting in the capacity of doing their job,
can they be held personally liable for advice that they've given this board?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Mr.
Supervisors.
And let me clarify that. I don't necessarily mean, you know, from the board itself, because if a person outright gives us false information, I mean, we have some action we can take. But I'm talking about, another party who, take, for example, the Mercer case. You know, could they have sued somebody who gave testimony here, in favor of the board for some reason or another?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, with respect to county employees who are appearing in front of you, it would be very unusual for them to have personal liability for anything that they said or did, because if they're acting within the scope of their employment and it's providing you advice, then they're covered by Milwaukee County as their employer for anything they do. So they don't have personal liability. The county may have liability. They wouldn't have personal liability. The only exception to that would be a Gary Dobrik situation, where they could be criminally charged if something went far enough with misconduct in office, an extreme example. They might have that kind of liability in an extreme situation. But civil liability in a civil piece of litigation, it's unlikely. With respect to private parties, such as a Mercer appearing in front of us, obviously the county can always sue a vendor if they believe they've breached their contract in some fashion. But I don't think that's what you're asking.
No, right, right. Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, this is it's a very difficult decision, I think, to make, because you have good arguments on both sides of it. I mean, we don't want to create the scenario where we have our employees or staff afraid to come to us and tell us things that they absolutely need to tell us, that, information that we need to make a decision. And on the flip side of that, the very threat of this country is based on open government, and I think that while we have the need to protect some information for decision-making purposes, when it comes right down to it, government should be open. And as Supervisor DeBruin said, if you're going to make, you should be, true to your comments, what you say privately, you should be willing to say publicly. And it's a very tough decision, but I'm going to vote in favor of it, because, as I said, when it gets down to the end of the day, I mean, we are all about open government. And if this county or any government does, in fact, do something wrong, and it has to come out through a litigation, then it should be. I mean, let the chips fall where they may. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. And it is. Sometimes it'll hurt us. Sometimes it'll help us. But it should prevent the gray areas like we've seen in the past. And we're better to have clarity, I think. So I will support. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Bryant.
Thank you. I think to carry that point further, for me, this is not about the practice of law, which is a strategic undertaking. This is about justice, which in turn is about the pursuit of truth. And the best record is the most truthful record. So I don't know, how do we value truth? Is at the very base of this question. Do we view it as a strategic commodity to be manipulated or withheld for purposes of victory? Or is the truth, as best we can understand it, what is absolutely necessary to arrive at a just conclusion? To me, that's what this is all about, and what open government is also all about. We're going to take some on the chops. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to lose. That's part of the turf. That's what that's what the judicial contests are about. But to deprive us of the ability to best understand what is true seems to me to be folly, anti-democratic, anti-just conclusion. So for me, this is a real simple matter, and I know we could debate it until the cows come home, but when the cows come home, hopefully they're going to bring with them the animal instinct toward truth.
Supervisor Joseph.
Unless they're a possum.
They eat the grass, we know what happens.
Since Supervisor Broderick has chosen to wax poetic, I think of the college course on truth when you read about Plato and the shadow on the wall of the cave. I'm sure we've all sat through that lecture. My concern is that we're not going to get the truth or all of the truth. Because truth can be perceived from the hearsay, if you will, which is the shadow on the wall, of different individuals having heard different things or seen different things. And I'm just very concerned that the recording in closed session is going to cause us to lose the ability to hear the truth. So if we're going to start putting this in terms of truth and justice, there is another way to perceive that. There's another shadow on the wall, if you will. So I just don't want to leave this as if those of us who may not support this are voting against the truth. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I have just a brief rebuttal? I spent 20 years as a private investigator, generally working defense cases and watching the search for truth and the miscarriages that occurred as a result because of rules that weren't about seeking the truth but were about strategically, that's not the application we're looking for here. We're looking for the most complete record we can have in order to establish what is true, what's a lie, and what's a misconception. And beyond that, I think without that record, we are handicapped in arriving at the best conclusion, the most just conclusion that we could.
Mr. Chair, just a brief rebuttal if I could.
Final comments.
Thank you. Having spent 30 years as an attorney, I can tell you I've been in many cases, and some of the divorce cases are the worst ones, in which both sides are convinced. They're absolutely telling the truth, and they're diametrically opposed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I've been through one of those.
I'll let you have the final word.
Thank you, Supervisors. Madam Clerk, we have a motion for approval. Would you please call the roll?
De Bruin?
Aye.
Cesars?
No.
Broderick?
Aye.
Chersett?
No.
Sanfilippo?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
No.
3 ayes, 3 noes.
The matter goes to the County Board with no recommendation from the committee.
We're having fun today.
With respect to item number